thank you, Jesus. There's just a couple phrases that are stirring for me today, for us, as we have focused on and continue to focus on the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many of you know that it is the victory of all victories? Come on, how many know it is the victory of all victories? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It is the victory of all victories. Hallelujah. If we didn't have this victory, none of the rest of them would ever count. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's the victory of all victories. And we are grateful to the Lord. We are grateful to Jesus. Hallelujah. On Wednesday night, we looked at his journey to the cross. And we stopped right at his death so that we could pick it up today with the resurrection. I want to read just a couple of passages of Scripture, and then I'm just going to share some things. As I said, I got another thought, but I don't know if it's the thought. And how many of you know it's not? You don't want just a thought; you want the thought. How many would say, "Yeah, I need the thought that's going to meet me right where I'm at today"? You know, it might be a good thought, but I need a relevant word for right now, for today. Amen. Amen. And so that's what I'm really just pressing into. It's like you can go a number of different ways. You know, with Resurrection Sunday, I was talking with Pastor George, and I believe they may already be in service as well. I was talking to Pastor George, and he was saying he had prepared a message, you know, for today. I said, "Wonderful." I said, "So you're not gonna speak on the resurrection?" He said, "Oh, that's right, it is. Yeah." I said, "Yeah, it's resurrection." He said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah, man, that's an easy one, you know." Okay, I guess it's not easy for some of us, but listen, if it's an easy one for me, I'll just say that, because all I got to do is think about Calvary. All I got to think about is what happened after Calvary. I'm telling you, it stirs something in me. I don't know. You might have got here a little late, but there was in our worship time, I saw Jesus calling my name. I saw him calling. See, you got to make it as personal as it needs to be. I know all over the world, they're celebrating resurrection and that. But I'm telling you, I saw him with his hand stretched out calling my name, John, John. I see you, John. I got you, John. I'm coming for you. Come on, how many glad he came for you in the person of Holy Spirit? Come on, you didn't get saved all by yourself. You didn't just up one day and decide, "I'm a sinner and I need to be saved." No, there was some work that took place. There's some things, that some dynamics that happened that brought you to a place of repentance. And I just love how I vision it. I just see him saying, "John, I'm coming for you." Hallelujah. We've watched a movie, Pastor Maurice and I, we watched a movie a number of times called Day After Tomorrow. Any of y'all seen a movie called Day After Tomorrow? If you haven't seen it, you need to find that movie and watch it. How many of you seen it? Let me see your hands. Day After Tomorrow. You think you have? Okay. It's a movie about climate change, and it's about this storm that hits. It's a really bad storm that hits, and one of the climatologists, his son is stuck up in New York, and he tells his son, "Stay where you're at. I'll come for you. I'll come to you." And the young man tells his friends, "We need to stay right here. My dad's coming for me." I mean, can you imagine Jesus saying, "I'm coming for you. I'm going to handle this for you, and then I'm coming for you." The Bible says that it is God in Christ redeeming man to himself. But Jesus told the disciples, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless. The Holy Spirit's going to come." And whether you recognize it or not, it is the working of Holy Spirit that's brought you and I to the place of salvation. He came for us, pursued by love, captured by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. not of works, lest any man should boast. There is so much to be found in the readings of the resurrection. I want to read out of two different Gospels, and then I want to share some thoughts with us. Matthew 28, and Pastor Deborah, we're off script, at least what we thought. We're off our script and on his script. Matthew 28, starting at verse 1, it says, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it." Now I need you to hear this with fresh ears, because if you've been saved any amount of time, you have a good number of Easters or resurrection services under your belt. But I need you to hear it with fresh ears. Say fresh ears. Say, "God, give me eyes to see something I've never seen before. Help me to hear something I've never heard before. Help me to take away today something I've never taken away before." "And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said.'" I'm telling you right there is a praise moment. There's nothing that he says that won't come to pass. He said, "My word goes forth, not return to me void, but accomplish that which I please and prosper whereunto the thing that I have sent it." If God has given you a word, it may take a day, it may take a week, it may take a month, it may take a few years for it to come to pass. But you can be sure of one thing. It will not return to him void. He says he has risen just as he said, just as he told you. It says, "Come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and they took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, for there they will see me." Where? In Galilee. Come on, say, some movement is required. Come on, say, if you're going to see him in a new way, in a different way, some movement is required. "Now, while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'You are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. Now, you do know that they could have been executed for that. Okay, but this is about a cover-up. So it says that they stole him away while we were asleep. It says, "And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. Now let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, it says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb? Looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. I want to encourage you, some of you right now, quit looking at the obstacles that are in your way right now. Quit looking at the obstacles that seem to be down the road. Quit looking at the things that you're not even there yet. Because the very thing that you think might be in your way, by the time you get there, will have already been removed. They're wondering who's going to remove the stone. There's an impediment. There's an obstacle in our way. They're trying to process it, think it through before they get there, not knowing that once they get there, it's already done. God has already moved it. God has already taken care of it. That's a good time to thank God. Whatever's going on in your world right now, if you're watching by way of live stream, just thank God right now. Come on, just say he's moving right now. Come on, say he's moving right now. Come on, he's moving that stone right now. He's moving that obstacle right now. He's moving that mountain right now. It may be in your finances. It may be in your health. It may be in your relationship. It may be in your family. It may be in your marriage. Whatever it is, he's moving it right now. He's moving it right now. He's moving. Oh! He's moving it right now, Mike. He's moving it right now. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. Yeah, still amazed. I'm still amazed. And he said to them, do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Now, one of the things that I want to just drive home this point right here is that the reason why he says tell the disciples and Peter is because Peter had done something that in his heart and mind felt disqualified him. He felt disconnected from the rest. Jesus never told him when he said Satan has desired that he would have, that he would sift you as wheat, but I pray that your faith fail not, that when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. He didn't say, you're going to deny me three times, and I'm going to have to reconsider whether you're going to be one of my disciples. Come on now. That's not what he said. He just simply told him what he was going to have to walk through. Yeah. And sometimes, you ever find yourself in a situation where you've made a choice, you've made a decision, and it's not been a good one, and the enemy's trying to bring on you guilt and trying to put on you shame, trying to put on you embarrassment, cause you to disqualify yourself. See, Peter had disqualified himself. He felt that, and here's the reason why, one of the reasons why, because see, Peter was the guy that was always speaking up with all the right answers. Peter was the one that was always, you know, telling everybody else what to do. And then he has this episode where he denies Christ three times. Now, the thing about it is, no one else really knew what he had done. He knew, but he also knew Jesus knew, because Jesus told him before he did it. And so when he says here, tell the disciples and Peter, he wasn't throwing shade on Peter. He was extending love to Peter. He was extending acceptance to Peter. I need you to talk to the disciples, but I need you to give Peter a special message that I'm looking forward to seeing him there as well. Come on, y'all. I love the way this is written because there's a word in there for all of us in this season. So no matter where you find yourself, if you've messed up, get up. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's why he went to Calvary. That's why his blood was shed, not just on the way to Calvary, but before he got there. As a matter of fact, when you look at some of the medical reports and of that crucifixion, they will tell you he literally bled out before he got to the cross. The only difference between you bleeding out and him bleeding out is his blood was sinless. So all he needed was one drop left. All he needed was just one drop of blood left. And that was all it took to get him on that cross. It says he had bled out. Should have dropped dead on the road before getting there. Look at somebody and says it only takes one drop. Somebody said a little dab will do you. How y'all doing? He sends a special message. Isn't it great that he does that with us? Sends us a special message. We're down. Countenance is down. We start to think that it'll never happen. It'll never come to pass. He sends a word to us. Go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There will you see him just as he told you. They went out, fled the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. Mm-hmm. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe. Now, you have to realize that's a very low place. See, you can have trouble believing, but when you refuse to believe, that's what the scriptures talk about when it talks about those who were stiff-necked in Hebrews. They refused to believe. If you are having trouble believing, there's still hope for you. When Jesus is talking to the Father concerning the Father whose son needed to be healed, need to be delivered, he says, and if there's anything that you can do, he says, do you believe? He says, I believe, but help my unbelief. Anybody just right there right now, you believe, but you're struggling through some things. It's okay to say, I believe, but help my unbelief. There's some things that are pressing in on me right now. There's some things that I'm hearing right now. There's some things that I'm seeing right now. I want to believe. I still believe, but I need you to help my unbelief, because right now the scales are not balanced. Right now, unbelief seems to be. Come on, everybody just shout it. Help my unbelief. Come on, say, help my unbelief. Now, you may think you don't have any, and I'm going to pray for you. Because any given day, any of us can be in that place, depending on what that day brings us. One unfolds in that day. And for some of you right now, you're believing, but you're still challenged or struggling with the unbelief. And you need to know that Jesus is going to help you with that. The Holy Spirit is going to help you with that. It says they refuse to believe. They refuse to believe for a couple of reasons. I'm going to make those points clear in just a moment. After that, it says he appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking along on the way to the country. They went away and reported to the others, but they did not believe them either. But what's going on here? I believe that for all of us, any of us, we can find ourselves trusting God. We can find ourselves just waiting. We've got a prophetic word. We've got a teaching that we're holding on to. We believe God has spoken something to us, and we're holding on to it. And you should. But then when things start hitting it and things start happening that cause that whole picture that you have in your mind to change, then that's when you're going to be challenged. Or let me say it this way. That's where the opportunity will be for your faith to be exercised and you to stay consistent and confident about that which you believe God has said that he will do. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's talking to the women. You will know and you remember in the passages of Scripture how that no brothers showed up till after word came to them. And part of the reason is this. You see, Jesus was not naive as to why people gathered around him. He understood that even as he chose the 12 and they were walking with him, he knew that, Keith, they still don't get it. But that's okay. Because the 12 he chose were the 12 that his father told him to choose. Going back to when you get a word from God, you need to stand on that word no matter what. I can only imagine that Jesus is walking this out, and there had to be some moments when his flesh tried to kick in and say, man, you need to get another group. Because this group ain't getting it. Because they're still bickering and murmuring amongst themselves. They're still jockeying for position. And that's what was happening during the last Passover. They're thinking that we're about to take over now. Jesus is about to come into power. We're going to overthrow Rome and his kingdom will be set up. Because they're saying to one another, where will I sit? Where will you sit? And Jesus just checks all of them. And the way that he checks all of them is he gets a towel and a basin and he begins to wash their feet. And says, this is how you're going to lead in my kingdom. He who is greatest among you must be the least among you. And the least will be the greatest. It's in that same discourse, that same thing that's happening there, Eddie, is where he talks to Peter. And he says to Peter, listen, you're talking too much. I need to help you understand. I know you think you're going to stick with me, but you're not. Satan's coming after you. And the reason why, there's just a little bit of pride and arrogance going on with you. And it'll set you up every time. And he says, here's what's going to happen with you. Speaking of a prophetic word. He just tells him straight up, no, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me 3 times. Peter's like, I'd never do that. He says, okay. But you're going to be all right. And you know why you're going to be all right? Because I prayed for you. Yeah. He's praying for you right now. He's praying for me right now. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession. You can't lose. Oh. You can't lose. You can quit, but you can't lose. You can quit, but you can't lose. He says, Peter, you're going to be all right. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren, simply meaning you're going to get on the other side of this thing. Just look at somebody and say, you're going to get on the other side of this. Come on, say, we're going to get on the other side of this. Now just thank the Lord right now. If you're watching my way of live stream, I'm saying it to you as well. You're going to get on the other side of it. You're going to get through it.
Don't quit.
It says they refused to believe. They refused to believe because they were depressed. They were disappointed. They were despondent. I believe some of them were just downright mad. I left my job to follow him. And those of them were married, probably had wives saying, I told you not to quit your job to follow him. I don't care how many meals he was serving up, how many miracles he did. I told you, you need to keep that door open because that's our nature. They were dealing with such great disappointment because it just didn't make sense to them. We followed this guy. We saw what he could do. And then they see him on the cross. And it's one of those moments, the phrase that I like to say, they're looking and saying, this changes everything. I need to go on and see if I can get my job back. And you know, this changes everything. Because they had put it all in. All in. But what they didn't know, oh God. And what you have to know is that over the course of your life, over the course of my life, God will move in ways where you will have situations over and over where you will be able to say, this changes everything. This changes everything. For when word came to them now after the resurrection, even though there was a season that says they refused to believe, there had to be a, okay, see, they're saying, I don't want to stir up hope again and be disappointed again. I'd rather believe that he didn't come back than for you to tell me that. I get excited about it. And it never happened. There are moments for all of us just like that. But there's also the moments of this changes everything. That was part of Jesus' ministry. This changes everything. When he showed up, this changes everything. And there were those who just believed that if I can just get close to him, if I can get close enough to touch him, my life just might change. And in that moment when the woman with the issue of blood touched his robe and immediately was healed, and Jesus said, somebody touched me, she walked away saying, this changes everything. Come on, y'all, I'm trying to pull you into a place of expectation as a result of the resurrection of Christ. This changes everything. Blind Bartimaeus gets his sight. This changes everything. Jesus heals the lepers. This changes everything. Fast forward, Jesus says, I give you power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now go do what I did and more. Peter and John walking in at Gate Beautiful. The man's there lame from birth. Waiting for something. Peter says, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give to you. Get up and walk in Jesus' name. Grabs him by the hand, pulls him up. This changes everything. That man ran into that. He ran in, got in there, started leaping around, praising God. They're looking, who is that guy? I don't know, but this changes everything. Is there anybody still got a little bit of a leap in them? Come on. Anybody got just a little bit of leap? I mean, we come in to service sometimes like the walking dead. Then someone will encourage you and say, would you get a banner? Would you get a flag? We like this. We like to walk in dead. Where is to get the banner and do like Tammy did, where you're just going for it and you're all over the place because you remind yourself. You remind yourself that there was a time. Before your salvation. This changes everything. And so finally, what we see is that the men had to work through their issues. Part of the reason is this. You see, the men followed Jesus for position. The women followed for him. Presence. Relationship. That's why we can look in here right now. Just look around and see all the sisters. And God bless you, brothers. But where are the rest of y'all? It's okay. Come on, just a little louder. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, ladies. Come on. I'm affirming you right now. I'm affirming you right now. Now, their expectation, they went thinking that they were going to, anoint the body. But nevertheless, they were doing something. Only to realize you have been chosen to carry the message now to the disciples and let them know he ain't here. He's going to meet you in Galilee. The men had to deal with the fact that their expectation was misplaced. You see, if there's ever a time that kind of gets you off in your walk with God, is when you have misplaced expectations, when you have unrealistic expectations. Where you're expecting it to go one way, and God says, I never told you that. I just need you to trust me, continue to walk with me. And so, for all of them, it is a this changes everything moment. As believers, you and I will walk through seasons of this changes everything moments. God will do something in your life. God will do something around you. He will do something for you. He will do something through you. Peter, you remember Peter in Acts 10. Peter is tagged by God. Now, keep in mind, Peter's the guy that denied Christ, that Christ said, go tell the disciples and Peter, because Peter is the guy that I'm going to use to bring salvation to the Gentiles. And so it says that Cornelius is praying, a devout man. Cornelius is praying, and word comes to go send men to get Peter. And you remember the story about Peter with the dreams, and he's rebuking the dreams that he's having, but it's God telling him, don't call anything unclean that I call clean. What is he doing? He's changing his mind. He's changing his perspective. He's renewing his mind because now Christ has risen from the dead. That's the old. This is the new. And when he gets there to Cornelius's house, he says, I'm not supposed to be here. You do know that, but I'm here, so why am I here? And then that's when Cornelius says to him, I've been praying and we've been waiting. And God sent somebody to get you because you're going to tell us what we need to hear. Peter said, okay. Peter began to talk, but he was still somewhat reluctant about it because he's still trying to figure out, what am I doing here? And if word gets back to the others that I was with this guy. So he's talking and he's talking and he's talking and he's sharing the gospel message and he's sharing the message. And right in the middle of his message, everybody in the room got filled with the Holy Ghost. I can only imagine in Peter's mind, you know what he was thinking? This changes everything. Come on, y'all, work with me on this. He didn't even get to his closing. I mean, he didn't get it set up for the offering or anything. It was just Holy Spirit just moved in. I can imagine, he says, okay, well, this changes everything. He gets back amongst the other leaders, the other apostles, And he's sharing with them, and they called him on the carpet. You know you're not supposed to be there. You know we're not supposed to be fraternizing with in the homes of the Gentiles. You know that. What's wrong with you, Peter? Peter starts to talk to him. Peter starts telling him the story. Starts telling him about the dream. Starts telling him about the men that come to get him. Starts telling him about what he's talking to Cornelius about. And he says, and you know, right in the middle of my third closing, Holy Spirit just interrupted, fell on them, and they all began to speak with tongues. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what those men said? This changes everything. Come on, bless God. Yeah, yeah. See, we need some this changes everything moments, Pastor Jamal. Anybody need some this changes everything moments? Yes, 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 yes. I'm looking for them. I'm believing for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not making a call. I'm just pulling up something here. So just give me a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This changes everything. This changes everything. This changes everything. This changes everything. Hallelujah. This changes everything. The challenge and opportunity that we have as we move forward in the revelation and the reality of the resurrection of Christ is that the dynamic we see here in the scriptures concerning his death and the resurrection, we want to learn from it so we don't find ourselves having to navigate through some of the same mental things they had to navigate through and attitudinal things that they had to navigate through. Because you see, what I see in this and what I heard the Lord say to me as I'm reading it, he says, you must be mindful to not jump to conclusions. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't run to conclusions, because we like to make those uncertain things certain. You see, they're seeing Jesus on the cross. In their minds, they're saying, it's over. None of them are really thinking about what he said, because what he said was unprecedented. I'm going to die, and I'm coming back. You see, their minds were still on this realm, around being Jesus coming into power, and they coming into power with him. What they're seeing, they're having to rationalize it and place it somewhere in their mind. And what they chose to do was make it be an ending when it wasn't an ending. And the word of the Lord for many of you right now is, God is still saying, it's not over. It's not over. Now, we heard a few weeks ago the message from Bob Sorge. He's still writing our story, still writing your story. And in our house, we just tweaked that a little bit. He's still revealing your story. God, everything about you is already there. He doesn't have a Holy Ghost eraser that he's erasing this and putting this in because you did this. He's not fixing this because this happened. It's already there. But the challenge is, we only see in part and we only know in part. And so when something happens that's tragic, or something happens that we were not expecting, or someone makes a decision to do something that impacts their life that now impacts your life, it oftentimes causes us to jump to conclusions. Because why? We're trying to manage the uncertainty of the future. And what we have to do is, we have to manage our emotions, we have to manage our feelings, manage our thoughts, and where our minds can go around things that God has already written it. It's just a matter of you and I walking it out in faith. And had the disciples just simply went away with the thought. Now, of course, you know, they're seeing Jesus die on the cross and his body taken down. It's hard to look past that and think there's any kind of future. And that's just the reality. But if there was the smallest amount of understanding in what he said, there would have been the thought that, well, now, just maybe there is some truth to what he said. I don't want to just say this is the end. I need to make this a comma, not a period. I need to make this that dot, 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 not an exclamation point. Just in case. Just in case this is a, this changes everything moment. So we don't want to jump to conclusions. You don't want to jump to conclusions. You don't want to run to the conclusion because it helps you feel safe. Quit running to the familiar to ease the discomfort of not knowing the future. The disciples, they just all went back home. They just all went home. Went back to their jobs. But at the same time, they were hiding out because they were afraid. You see, Jesus' ministry was so powerful, so influential, that's why when he died, they said, listen, we need to put some guards on the tomb, because if for some reason his body ends up missing, we still gonna have to deal with these folk. Because he told them that he would come back from the dead. But it didn't matter what they tried to do to block what he said. You need to know the enemy can't stop, can't block what God has purposed to do in your life. What he has purposed to do for you, what he can't stop it. Come on, say he can't stop it. The only one that can stop it is you. At best, the disciples should have said, okay, he kept talking about 3 days. You know, I didn't quite understand what he was talking about. You know, but you know what? I'm going to give him 3 days. Maybe he meant in 3 days he's coming back. That would have moved them, many of them, if not all of them, to the place of expectation. The expectation that just maybe what we were thinking was a little off, and that's why we couldn't understand him. Now, had they opened their minds just that much, they would not have been in the mindset to refuse to believe. What they did and what we often don't understand are willing to continue to give ourselves to is whatever the process is to the completion of God's plan. Our blessing is we know how it ends in the book. What we don't know is the in-between. And that's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in. That's where continuing to walk with God comes in. And so we don't rush the process, abort the process, because if you do, you will most certainly miss the Father's true intention an ultimate plan for placing you where you are at. Simply meaning where you're at right now. God knows it. He knew it. He's not rewriting the script as you make decisions. He knew what Peter was going to do. He knew what the disciples were going to do. He knew who was going to show up at that tomb and who wasn't going to show up. And that same God is working in your life, in my life, right now, that way. Come on, say it's still unfolding.
It's still unfolding.
Come on, there's still more to the story. Your story, my story. It is being continued. And it's not over. It's unfolding. You remember, how many of you remember Paul Harvey? I didn't say Steve Harvey. Okay, this goes, see you, I knew I wouldn't see a lot of hands on this. Let me ask again, how many of you have heard of Paul Harvey? How many of y'all know who Paul Harvey is? Okay, that's good. So Paul Harvey is a radio host, storyteller. And his program was called The Rest of the Story. And you can find him on YouTube, and you can go online and you can listen to the incredible, amazing stories that he tells. But they're all with one theme in mind, because he tells stories that most folks think they know, and he adds the rest of the story to it. And it changes your paradigm oftentimes. This is one of those moments in the scriptures. Where he says, now you know the rest of the story. That's your life. That's my life. From some, it won't be until you stand in eternity. And God says, Jesus says, now you know the rest of the story. The disciples thought they knew the story. They were confused when there was a chapter in it that they didn't think was part of the story. Is there anything going on in your life right now that you feel like, man, this doesn't feel like part of the story, part of my life? And my encouragement is, we got to keep going. We got to keep going. We got to keep moving. Some movement is required. The angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter, get to Galilee. Jesus said, tell them to get to Galilee. Because there, I'm going to meet them. And then they'll understand the rest of the story. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ brought an exclamation point, but the story continues. Your life and my life were a part of the story. Everything that's happened in your life that you anticipated, you planned, that's part of the story. Everything that you didn't plan, everything that you didn't like, everything that has caused you to be in places of wonderment and even discomfort are part of the story. Our blessing comes in Our confidence comes in knowing that he says this through Jeremiah. The plans that I have for you, good and not evil, to bring you to an expected end. I'm not writing it. It's already written. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I scripted your life from beginning to end. I need you to trust me and trust that I know what I'm doing. And I will bring you to that expected end. Your story is unfolding. Our story is unfolding. And it is marvelous. And it is amazing. No matter where you find yourself, don't abort the process. If you find yourself in a place of discomfort, dis-ease, struggling, there's grace for that. You just want to keep going. Eventually, once Jesus appeared to the disciples, they all got themselves together. I'm talking about internally. Even Thomas, who said, I'm not believing it. I'm not believing it until I see him, and I'm able to put my hand into the nail prints and into his side. And when Jesus sees Thomas, he says, come here, Thomas. Come here. Right here. Right here. He loved Thomas enough to say, if I need to prove this to you, I will. And God loves you and I enough that he says, if I have to prove this to you, I will. For some of you, he's about to prove some things to you. So don't give up. Don't walk away. Don't abort it. He's getting ready to come right up to you and say, right here. Right here. Those that are watching my way of live stream, some of you, he's about to prove himself to you. There could have been no more discouraging and depressed time than those people who stood at the foot of the cross and watched Jesus die the way that he did. But because of his unconditional, unfailing, unrelenting love, when he rose from the dead, he went and got him. He has and will do the same for you and for me over and over. Because his desire is that the will of the Father concerning you will be fulfilled.